Let us look to God in prayer. Loving Father, we come before your holy presence, giving thanks to you for this Lord's Day that you have gathered your people here in this sanctuary to worship you. God, you are the creator of the whole universe, and we bow before you in adoration. We give thanks to you once again for salvation, so rich and free. We give thanks to you for your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven to earth to live a life of obedience, and then went all the way to the cross to die for sinners like us. Thank you, Father, for giving us life everlasting since the day that we put our trust in your Son. Thank you, O Lord, for this new life, and we thank you for all that you have done for us, in and through us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God, who is our comforter, who is our teacher. He will lead us and guide us into all the truth. And Father, this morning as we come to open your word, Lord, may you open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your word. We pray that your Spirit will speak to us, will minister to our hearts accordingly. We pray that you help us to understand what it means to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And we pray, O Lord, that your word will come clear to us and with great spiritual impact. Lord, change us, transform us, make us to be like Christ. So we pray and ask all this with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, Amen. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And I shall read to you once again, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submission can be an irritating word because it goes against one's selfish nature. As a matter of fact, it has been a problem since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Resistance to submission is everywhere. You find it in the church, workplace, home, family, marriage, school, and public demonstration. Is there a worldview of submission? No. The world says, exert yourself. Stand up for your rights. You don't have to take such treatment. Get an attorney to fight for your rights. You may win a ridiculously huge settlement. The world encourages everyone to stand up for his or her rights. The feminist movement promotes women's rights. The homosexual movement promotes gay rights. Some people advocate children's rights to be free from parental authority. Animals also have rights, often over and above human rights. Sad to say, but it is true. Some church people fight for their rights. Since I voted him or voted in the pastor, I also have the right to vote him out. Is there a biblical worldview of submission? There is. Paul said, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. That is the Christian worldview of submission. What is your understanding of submission? Is it absolute obedience all unquestionable submission, all listen and shut up. Once I asked my son, what comes to your mind when you hear the word submission? His immediate response was obedience. The word submission is indeed in essence a synonym for obedience. What does it mean to submit? Most people in the 21st century mind would usually think of subjugation in reference to submission. We tend to believe that submission means that we are to obey those that we submit to. In other words, to whom we submit are those that control us. That is what we tend to believe. Let us look at what it means. In its general use, it means to yield to another's admonition or advice, or to place in order, to place under an orderly fashion, or to line oneself up under. Now, these words is used in a military sense of soldiers submitting to their superior, or slaves submitting to their masters. It has the idea of giving up one's own right of will. Now, the word submit in the New Testament almost exclusively refers to someone subjecting himself or herself to another who is in authority over that person. It is used elsewhere in the New Testament to refer to Jesus' submission to his parents, of demons being subject to the apostles, of citizens being subject to governing authority, of the universe being subject to Christ, of unseen powers being subject to Christ, or of Christ being subject to God the Father, or of church members being subject to their leaders, or of wives being subject to their husbands, or of the church being subject to Christ, or of servants being subject to their masters, or of Christians being subject to God. Thus, some Bible teachers believe that it is significant to note that none of these relationships are ever reversed. They said, the word is never mutual in its force. It is always one-directional in its reference to submission to an authority. One-directional in its reference to submission to an authority. However, does the Bible use the word submission always in the same context? Yes and no. And we will find that it does not, at least in some cases. Now, the concept of submission is also used by the New Testament writers to describe a variety of Christian relationships. Ephesians 5:21 is a good example. Paul exhorts his readers to submit themselves one to another in the fear of Christ, which is the last of five participles that spelled out the outcome of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you look at the text again. Reading from verse 18 of Ephesians 5. And be not drunk with wine, whereas is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Every Christian should be filled with the Spirit, should be influenced, should be governed, should be controlled by the Spirit of God. Just like a person who is being controlled by wine. A drunkard man does not speak sense. So when a person is being filled with the Spirit, he would manifest the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And here we read in verse 19, when a person is being controlled, being governed, being influenced by the Holy Spirit, verse 19 says that, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So when a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit, he will have joyful worship. He will worship God. He will make melody in his heart. He will always hum about Christian hymns or Christian songs. And in verse 20, when a person is being filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled, governed, influenced by the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that he will give thanks always to God for all things. He is a thankful Christian. He thanks God for everything that comes along his life. And when a person is being filled with the Holy Spirit, he will submit himself one to another in the fear of the Lord. And if a person is being filled with the Holy Spirit, for wife, he will submit to the husband. For husband, he will love the wife. So, from here we see that when a person is being filled with the Holy Spirit, all these things happen. And the last one in verse 21 has to do with our relationship with one another. Submitting, Paul said, to one another in the fear of the Lord. Now the word translated, one another, indicates equality of all concerned. Now one Greek scholar explains that in society, all humans, all men and women, in various positions of leadership, of following and dependence, are equal. Yet their functions vary and their responsibilities. If we accept certain functions under a fellow human, we must submit ourselves to that individual to accomplish a common goal. So it is with a wife placing herself in the proper and divinely fitted position under her husband. Only a wife can bear children, and to do this, she must subject herself to her husband. The functions are equally important, although different. And they are different, not because we want them to be, but because God made them to be so. Now, Peter amplifies it when he exhorts young men to be submissive to those who are older. 1 Peter 5:5. The writer of Hebrews exhorts all Christians to obey their leaders and submit to their authorities. In Hebrews 13:17, and Paul in his letters to the many churches instructs servants to submit to their master, Christian or non-Christian. Paul reminds his Roman readers to submit to the authority of the Roman government. And children are admonished to obey and submit to their parents. Now, mutual submission is the mark of Christianity. Just like loving one another is a mark of Jesus' disciples. We read in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, If ye have love one to another. So loving one another is a mark of Jesus' disciples. This mutual submission is a whole concept, a new concept of functional relationship between people. Now let me illustrate. Jesus' disciples were arguing among themselves who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Jesus said to them that if they want to be great in the kingdom of God, they must first learn to be a servant of all. Then he told them that in the secular world, there is no such thing as mutual submission. And that we read in Matthew chapter 20, 25 to 28. Generally, men operate out of selfish motives. He works hard to develop his own potential so as to achieve his own personal success. For that reason, he has little or no interest in helping others to reach their goals, except when it might benefit himself. Others are competitors to him. He would not spend the time helping them to achieve their goals unless it might benefit him. Now, Paul teaches the same truth in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now the sense of submission here is the foregoing of your interests so that you can serve someone else. It is a voluntary act of caring and the act of love. Now, if we were to read the Philippians chapter 2, the key verse is verse 5, where Paul says that, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to capture this mind of Christ, this attitude of Christ. And in chapter 2 alone, Paul gave two wonderful examples. First of all, himself, and then Timothy and Epaphroditus. And these men who are willing to leave everything behind to serve other people. And these men have captured the mind of Christ. So when we read these two verses, the sense of submission here is the foregoing of your interests so that you can serve someone else. Now therefore, submission in this context, Philippians chapter 2 in this context, refers to the voluntary act of putting someone else's interests ahead of your own. It is also a reference to the act of voluntary putting yourself under the authority or care of someone. An example of this would be the submission of a patient to the doctor, a student to his or her instructor, or children to his or her parents. Submission does not always imply a tyrannical rule, as in this case. Instead, it refers to the whole concept of love. Whole concept of love. Now, let me just give you another example. On the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. Now, do you perceive Jesus as the one who has full control of your life and tell you what to do in addition to making demands of you? Now, we tend to think of it when we see that word submit. However, Paul is not referring to a tyrannical types of submission here, but a submission that is first justified and filled by love and respect. We submit to Christ because we know that He loves us. He cares for us. He provides for us. He guides us. And He even died for us. Alright, we read in 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. Now, Christians have the potential to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ because Jesus has set us an example. God could have sent His angels to earth to preach the gospel, or He could have used other means to proclaim it. He could have written John 3:16 in the sky. But He did not. He spoke to His Son, and He agreed to come down to earth to do His Father's will. And here we see, out of love, the Son submit to His Father. Alright, the Son submit to His Father. Jesus is God. But He submitted to His Father. So He left heaven's glory. He became a servant of all, to all men. He lived a perfect life. And He went all the way to the cross to die for us. And here we read in Philippians chapter 2, 6 to 8. And because of that, we read that God highly exalted Him. We have the potential to place ourselves under each other's authority out of respect for Christ, especially those who are in leadership. We who are in position of leadership are to humbly relate to the congregation, spouses, children, employees, or anyone who is under our authority with an attitude of submission. We must humble ourselves and submit to one another out of reverence, out of respect for Christ. Sadly, some leaders have abused their positions to lord it over the flocks. Spouses, employees, or anybody who is under their authority. Consequently, they become cultic. While cult leaders like to control various aspects of members' life, which includes marriage, dating partners, making them to confess private thoughts and sins. They make it compulsory for its members to attend meetings and to recruit members. These are some of the characteristics of the cults. In fact, before I enter into the Christian ministry, the Lord was calling me. I was very excited. And someone introduced to me a group of people who are zealous of serving the Lord. And so I joined them, and later I found out that they were children of God. And of course I left the group. But from there I learned something. These are their characteristics. They want to take control of your life. They want to want you to submit to them without question. And that's not what the Bible teaches. That's what James says. These things ought not so to be. Paul's instruction is clear. Christians are to submit themselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. As I said earlier, the Bible talks about a spirit-filled life. Every Christian should be spirit-filled because A Christian who is full of the Holy Spirit does not gratify the desires of the flesh. You read all this in Galatians chapter 5. You turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5:16. Here we read, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." The word "walk" there speaks of a conduct of life, a manner of life. "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If you are Spirit-filled, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, "For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusted against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Well, you remember in Romans chapter 7, where Paul talks about his post-conversion experience from verse 15 onward. He said that, "I know that this is not right to do, and yet I do it. I know that this is right to do, and yet I do not do it. Why? Because sin dwelleth in me. Because evil dwelleth in me." And there is a constant conflict between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the flesh. The Spirit and the flesh, they're constantly fighting against each other. Constantly trying to take control against each other. And so if you do not feed yourself with the Word of God, you will lose the battle. You will lose the battle. And so we are told here that we are in a spiritual warfare. So we are to be Spirit-filled. Alright, if husband and wife have problem, probably one of them is not Spirit-filled. Or both of them are not Spirit-filled. That is why there's always the problem of submitting to one another. If the church is not Spirit-filled, that is why there's a lot of disharmony, a lot of quarrel, a lot of backbitings, a lot of gossip. So each and every one of us is to be Spirit-filled. In fact, be filled with the Holy Spirit is a command. There's no choice. And if we do that, then we will not satisfy, gratify the desires of the flesh. Now the question is, how can I know that a Christian is Spirit-controlled? Well, one of the signs, as what we have said, one of the signs is found in Ephesians 5:21 is mutual submission. Alright, mutual submission. The others, we read just now in Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20. Joyful worship, thanksgiving to God, and mutual submission in verse 21 of Ephesians 5. So the question is New Life Church a Spirit-filled church? Are there any signs to show it? So we need to examine ourselves. Am I individually, am I Spirit-filled? If I'm Spirit-filled, I have no problem submitting myself to another Christian out of reverence for Christ. So we need to pray. If there's a problem, then we need to pray for mutual submission, because that is one of the signs of a church being Spirit-filled. Now let me give you some practical steps to help us to submit to one another. First of all, mutual submission must begin with the leadership of the church. Speaking to the Corinthian Christians, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now, if you were to read the book of Corinthians, you know that that book is, that church is a problematic church. And here Paul, and one of the problems is schism, divisions, quarrel, disharmony, disunity. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, if there is contention or disharmony in the leadership, it will become obvious to all members of the church. Just as squabbles between a husband and wife cannot be hidden from children or their children, so a lack of harmony among leaders in the church cannot be hidden from the rest of the congregation. Somehow people will sense it. Somehow people will know it, that there is this unity among the leadership. Now, the opposite is also true. When the leadership is serving in harmony, members will notice it. As a result, they will be encouraged to serve God all the more. So, we must make every effort, as what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, to keep the unity of the Spirit of the church, to maintain that unity. Now, here are some questions to help us evaluate our attitudes and actions. How do I view others who are in positions of leadership? Do I respect them and honor them as fellow members of the body of Christ? Or do I feel I am more important than they are? So, respect, honor. What is our attitude towards the leadership of the church? 2, how do I react when someone disagrees with me? Am I threatened? Do I respond emotionally and defensively? Do I insist on doing things on my own way? And thirdly, how often have I admitted to others that I have been wrong? Do I always have to be right to feel comfortable? And finally, do I ever share my inner struggle, my inner life and struggles with other church leaders? Do I keep my witness to myself? So we need to evaluate our attitude and action towards one another, especially to the leadership. And 2, as a member of the church, I must understand the clear teaching of God's word concerning the subject of submission. I must know that mutual submission is one of the signs of being filled with the Spirit of God. When the church practices mutual submission, it is a Spirit-filled church. It is not just for wives to submit to husbands, but also for husbands to submit to wives without giving up their leadership. For elders to submit to fellow brethren in the body of Christ without giving up their positions of authority. For parents to submit to their children's viewpoint without giving up their parental status. For employers to submit to their employees without losing respect. And thirdly, evaluate your attitude toward other members of the church. As a leader, how do you treat your members? Peter says we must not lord over them. So how do you treat them? As a member, how do you treat your leaders? Do you accuse them wrongly? Do you submit and obey the authority of your leaders, as what we read in Hebrews 13:17? And then fourth, young men, do you submit to older men? Young ladies, do you submit to older women? Nowadays, young men and women are more educated than the older generation. Do you treat them as fools or people who know nothing? So what is your attitude towards the older people? You submit to them. And then husband, how do you treat your wife? Wives, how do you treat your husband? Or parents, how do you treat your children? And children, how do you treat your parents? Employers, how do you treat your employees? Or employees, how do you treat your employers? All this, Paul has given instruction to us. If you were to read in Ephesians and Colossians, and also Peter, or as citizens of the United Kingdom, how do you treat your God-appointed government? Well, we have all read, Paul has given us instructions, Peter also. Of course, we are to subject, as what Paul says, you know, to submit to our government. However, if our government were to ask us to do something that is against the holy law, against God, then we read, as what we read in Acts chapter 4, let us turn to Acts chapter 4. Here the disciples, they went up to preach the gospel, and you read, you know, they faced persecution. And we read in chapter 4 of Acts, verse 20. Alright, in verse 19 he says that, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." Verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we are seen, or we have seen and heard." They are witnesses. And then also we read in chapter 5, they were persecuted. And then in chapter 5, they filled Jerusalem with the doctrine. And then in chapter 5, verse 29, this is how the apostles responded to the council. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Yes, we are to obey our government. But if they were to stop us from preaching the gospel, then we have to obey God rather than the government. It's just like if we are told to obey our parents, but if our parents were to ask us to do something that is against the word of God, then we have to say, "I'm sorry, mom or dad, I cannot do that because it is against the word of God." Submit yourselves to one another. Go against human selfish nature. Human tendency is to lord over others. But submitting one's self to another is the opposite of self-assertion. the opposite of an independent, autocratic spirit. Christians are told to submit themselves to one another because it is one of the signs of one who is being filled with the Spirit of God. To submit to one another means to get along with one another, living in harmony and peace, and treating one another equally. And this is all done in the sphere where the fear of the Lord is present. So, brethren, let us submit ourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. Do not allow pride to keep us from submitting ourselves to one another, thus destroy the harmony of the church. So may the Lord help us to understand this concept of submission. And may the Lord help us to learn to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask of you to help us to further understand on your word by your Holy Spirit the concept of mutual or submission. We pray that you help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and not to exert, Lord, or overly exert, Lord, our own authority. But we need also, Lord, to listen to others' view and learn, Lord, to submit, Lord, one to another. Lord, we ask of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to work, Lord, in our lives, to change us, to transform us, to be like Christ. So speak to our hearts, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn